audience you didn't know. You didn't really know who they were, and you're hoping that the message you give will be one that will touch hearts, and you pray about it, you put it together, and you adjust it, and you refine it, and you tune it, and in the midst of everything else you have to do, and you hope, because you don't know the audience, that they'll receive, that God will speak to hearts. And I want to let you know that yesterday, Chris Ann Kuykendall spoke to the women's breakfast, and she spoke through a book that I have long since forgotten, The Velveteen Rabbit. And it touched my heart. And I heard other women, my daughter, one of them, saying, that so touched me. So thank you, God, for a willing vessel to touch hearts. That was great. Chrissy and Bobby and Karen, thank you for putting together another beautiful season, a great way to kick off the season of Christmas with the ladies' Christmas breakfast. It was wonderful. Gabriel, thank you for working on the church building, put a new roof over the elevator so it won't leak and create electrical problems, which cost a lot of money to fix. Thank you, Gabriel, and for taking care of our eaves, gutters. They're all cleaned out and ready to go for the winter. Thank you, Jeff Capps. Where are you, Jeff? Back there. Jeff rebuilt and updated our table cart downstairs. It needed that job done, and he did a perfect job on it. So thank you. And to anyone else, you are a great congregation. You put together and you make things happen here. And not just within these walls, but within the community and beyond. Thank you. Your pastor is proud of you. Thank you. Vision. Let's talk for a moment about vision. 2018 is coming. What does vision look like? What is God giving us for this coming year? Well, the first three weeks of January, we will be doing our prayer and fast. If you would like to participate in that, we would encourage you to fast in some form or fashion. Fasting in Scripture is always about a meal, fasting a meal, and letting go of King's stomach, right? So King Jesus can rule. And so fasting in some form or fashion, you decide what that looks like. But we're asking God in this coming January, Lord, what's your vision for our congregation? And then we're going to come together as a family at the end of that fast, and we're going to build vision together. All right? You're going to hear from your leadership. You're going to hear from myself. And we want to hear from you. We come together and let's build a vision for this congregation. What do you think God might be concerned about for 2018 in Athena and beyond? Let's pray about that question in our fasting and prayer. And then come together and hear what God is telling all of us. I look forward to that. Also envision reaching younger generations. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've got grayer hair than I used to have. And some of you do too. We need to reach younger generations. We're having Dr. Rick Cromie come and speak on that topic, how to reach younger generations. We know that there's differences between generations. How does we older generation reach a younger generation? And Dr. Rick Cromie he's on the cutting edge of this kind of work. And he's been here before, twice before actually, to speak to us and teach us, train us. And so we're excited to have him come Saturday, January 14th, from 9 to 2 p.m. You might mark that on your calendar. We'll have more advertising coming. January 14th, 9 to 2 p.m. Vision, reaching generations coming behind us. And then tonight, I'm not sure what the weather's going to be, but tonight I'm leading the Christmas carols at the Christmas tree lighting for the city tonight, 5 o'clock, down by the Gem Theater. Come help me connect with people down there. Have a great time. All right, 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock, remember the Singspiration at the Baptist Church. Okay. God is good, eh? All the time. And all the time. Okay, let's try that again. God is good. And all the time. Yeah, God is good all the time. All the time. And that's why I've titled this series, An Everyday Christmas. An Everyday Christmas. God is good all the time. Yes, we focus on His arrival during Christmas, and we praise and thank Him for that. And I think that we can, in a sense, now pay attention to what I say because I don't want you to misunderstand. I think we can overemphasize that celebration. During this Christmas season series, which I've titled An Everyday Christmas, we'll be using a variety of approaches to gain insights not only about the meaning of Christmas, but also how to live out the values of Christmas in an everyday way. This is why we titled this An Everyday Christmas. So the purpose of this series is to motivate us. Okay, you ready to be motivated today? Everybody put on your motivation hat. I'm ready to be motivated. To motivate us to make godly choices every day. The holidays like Christmas and Resurrection Sunday are to be what we call faith builders. And isn't it ironic that holidays can become faith interrupters for us when we busy ourselves with the celebration activities? Isn't it ironic that the very thing that we should focus our heart on God and slow us down and deepen our relationship with Him becomes the very thing that takes us away from Him? Maybe we should call it a holy days. Have you ever thought that Satan just might love Christmas when the heartfelt joy and appreciation for Christ coming to the earth gets lost in the busyness of celebrating Jesus' birth? You ever thought about that? Have you ever said, December 26th, I'm glad that's over. So busy, so many things to do, so many cookies to make, so many parties to go to, so many clothes to make, so many things to attend. Faith interrupters, Satan loves it. You may have seen the acrostic busy, burdened under Satan's yoke. Boy, I'm busy. You know what? Our culture loves that word because the more busier you are, the more successful it feels. I'm busy. Now, as pastors, that can really be a trap. Man, I'm working 14 hours a day, 6 days a week, and a half a day on my day off too. And I'm just really successful. I'm putting in so many hours. Do you think God calls that success? I don't think so. But that's true for you too. Busyness can take us away from God. There's a story of Jennifer, teenager. She and her daddy, they loved each other a lot, and they would go on walks together. They would spend time talking. They'd go downtown and share a Coke, and they just enjoyed being together. And Jennifer's dad's birthday was coming up, and pretty soon Jennifer started saying no to dad's requests for time and walks and being together, and he couldn't understand. And then his birthday came, and she presented him with a gift, and he opened it up, and inside the gift was a pair of handmade slippers. Then he understood. And he took the slippers to her, and he said, Jennifer, sweetheart, these slippers are wonderful. because you made them for me. But if making them for me takes you from me, I'd rather have you than the slippers. God is saying that to us this season. If celebrating the arrival of my birth takes you from me, don't celebrate that way. I want you, not your celebration. Wow. Shall we kick off this season with things like, everybody do that, do it, take a big sigh. Let's start the season with, rather than end it with that. Because we have chosen to slow down. Today, let's look at how we can keep our faith relevant and fresh by choosing to let this Christmas season fulfill this scripture I'm going to read to you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Let your Christmas season be a fulfillment of this verse. Here it is. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with a little joy. Oh, no, all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that, okay, so trust and peace be here so that, or for the purpose of, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Where do you put stuff that overflows? Storage unit. Boy, howdy. I hadn't thought of that, Mark, but there's a lot of truth to it, too. Where do you put stuff that overflows? I hope I'd give it to somebody else. Now, she's not here today, but Joanna Otto is from Ghana, West Africa. And she came and visited several times. And about the second time she was here, she's from Walla Walla, a friend of Jean Matthews. And the second time she was here, she said, Delbert, come here. And I went up to her and she said, will you adopt me? You meaning you, church. Will you guys adopt me? And I looked at her straight on and I said, we already have. We love you. And she has a mission. She wants to go home. She's lived in the United States for many years, worked as a nurse, had some severe back injuries, a couple of back surgeries, can't work anymore. She wants to go home. She has a family of 11 children, brothers and sisters. And her home is waiting for her there. She showed me pictures of it. Long, long, it's like a half a block long type of home. And her plan is to do what? Something about sewing and bringing girls off the street who can't afford to go to school anymore, bring them off the street, teach them how to sew, and give them an income and give them hope that overflows from her. You see, hope creates hope. And the hope that you have that's overflowing in you, don't put it in the storage unit. Give it to someone else and let it create hope for them. One of the first things I learned in counseling training was this. When someone comes to you and if their life is so beat up that they have no faith and no hope, they don't even know if they can crawl out of the hole they're in, let them ride on your faith. Let them hear your hope. So that they can continue another step until God reignites and rekindles their hope. Let them ride on your faith and your hope. So in the counseling room, when somebody says to me, Delbert, am I going to die if I go through all this stuff I have to go through? I can say with absolute confidence, no, you're not going to die. Because I have hope about the truth. That God is with you. The whole Bible screams it. I'm here. I'm for you. I'm with you. And guess what? I promise to never leave you. Never leave you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! Yes?
But what if your hope and your faith is faltering at that time?
Good question, she asked. What if your faith and hope is faltering at that time? What's the answer, brothers and sisters? Yes, your brothers and sisters. Ride on the hope and faith of your family who is stronger right now. Romans 14. Weaker brother, stronger brother. Carry one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 5. Okay? A burden is something bigger than you can carry by yourself. All right? Galatians 5, 2. Carry one another's burdens, and in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. This relationship that's being talked about this morning. Carry one another's burdens. Don't carry, Michelle, I'm not going to carry your burden for you, but I'll carry it with you. Because you need to know that you're not alone in your sorrow. In your aloneness, in your sadness, you're not alone in that. Okay? Michelle? I am with you. Okay? Now, congregation, I want you to see something here. Michelle's dad passed away, and 2 days later, her grandpa passed away. She lost two significant men in her life in 1 week. I am here with her, and I represent not just Delbert, but who? God, Jesus Christ, and you, all of you, is with her. She knows that. But it only takes one of you to represent all of us, to go and be. Okay? Let me give you a little training here. Don't say stuff. Don't say things like, Michelle, God needed your dad and your grandpa more than you did. Don't say that. Just be quiet. Because words right now aren't going to go very deep. But what Michelle knows right this minute is the feeling of closeness of someone who cares. And that's all you have to do too. We get nervous and try to make up some sort of cliche that we hope makes people feel better. Don't go there. Just be. Just be. Because that's what Jesus does, isn't it? I've come to be with you. Not a lot of words. Father God, cover my sister Michelle. Her heart is sad. Can we weep with her? I know what it is to lose a papa. And I ask, Lord, that you would bring her heart close to you right now and minister to her. Because her faith and her hope is tired right now. And so, Michelle, rest. I walk with you. Which means God and your whole church family walks with you too. Thank you, Jesus. In your name and for your purpose, we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, there goes the sermon. That was a sermon. Amen. Yeah, we heard about real. We did yesterday. Real is when you can walk in someone else's fear, someone else's pain, and not run away from it. You can be there. You know, in the counseling room, there's so many times I've been scared to death. Lord, where do I go with this? What do I do with this? And he says, nothing. Delbert, shut up. Just be there. Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's in Scripture, by the way. It says right there, Delbert, shut up. Last Sunday, I asked you guys to text me or email me with an answer to this question. How do you keep your faith fresh? How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it relevant? Here's what you said. I review what God says about who I am in Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the faith that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I just sang that verse. Review what God says about me and live there. Secondly, I sing songs of truth like Your Name, Simplicity, O Come to the Altar. And today I'm going to ask all of you, if you are comfortable doing so, in the closing song today, or in the song after this message, to come and sing together. We're going to sing to each other as we sing to Him with one lifted voice. Another response, Ephesians 2:6, reminds me that in Christ I have His authority to live above the temptations of this world. Authority. Authority. Okay? I love doing this. Role play is a powerful way to teach. Okay? So I'm talking to somebody and they're fearful about something ahead of them. And I say, take authority over that. Let me hear your authority voice. I hope it doesn't happen. No, there's no authority in that. Let me hear your authority voice. Okay, please don't, no, stop. Now, let me hear your authority voice. Well, what does it sound like? Well, good question. Authority sounds like this. In the name of Jesus, I stand on His truth, not what fear is telling me. Say that. I'll say it to the person. How'd you say that? In Jesus' name, I stand on His truth, not what fear is telling me. And we'll say it and repeat it several times. Have you ever personified fear? Okay. I need a volunteer who doesn't need to do anything to stand here. Okay. Come on up. Yeah, it's all you got to do is stand here. Okay, so preach this sermon. No.
I just got to stand here.
I did. Okay, I have a fear. And fear, when it's not captured, rolls around in my brain and in my heart and makes my legs turn to jello and I don't know what to do with it. But if I can personify fear and speak to it, so I say, like fear is a person saying, fear, you do not have authority over me. Christ is my authority. I live by Him. His word tells me that I am chosen, blameless, wonderfully made. You try to tell me the opposite. Fear, shut up. I have nothing more to do with you. Good. I'll pay you $5 later. You're done today. Give him a hand. Good job. Ephesians 2:6 says that we are seated, notice past tense, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realms is not someplace up there. The heavenly realms is what Jesus brought to earth. It's called the kingdom of God. Woo-hoo! It's here, the kingdom of God. The heavenly realms, it's a living in the reality of heaven while we're on earth. And we live there with authority. Another response, spending time alone with God gets me centered. Boy, howdy. That's good. You know, you get kind of shaken sometimes. Get down with God and just get centered again. Another response, I focus on the armor of God, specifically the shield of faith, which deflects the flaming arrows or accusations of Satan. Satan ever accuse you? Oh, yeah. He might even accuse you of celebrating Jesus' birth wrong. You stingy person, you. You say you love God. Accusations. The shield of faith which deflects the flaming arrows. You know what you do with accusations? You plug your ears. You do not listen to them. Do not give them a voice. Do not argue with them. Because as soon as you argue with Satan, you've already lost. Because he has taken your attention off of God, and now you're arguing with him, and he's already got you. Right? Do not listen to Satan at all. Finally, a response was helping people keeps my faith active on God's purpose on earth. Helping other people keeps my faith active on God's purpose on earth. Amen. I belong to a Facebook pastors-only group, which is pastors around the Northwest, although it covers the entire world. Most of the pastors around the area are responding to this area, the Northwest. And I put the question out to them. How do you keep your faith fresh? And as pastors do, I got sermons back. I should have said, in one paragraph, in one sentence, but their answers were very much like yours. Your answers reveal that there are a number of ways to stay focused on Christ. It's exciting to see that you have thought about what helps you keep your relationship with God growing and healthy. I want to show you a simple tool for letting the Christmas season be a faith builder instead of a faith interrupter. First, I want you to choose one way, just one. There's a lot of them. Choose just one. To focus on connecting with God, one way to connect with God that you found helpful for you. Here are a few suggestions you might use. Read inspirational material. Bible's pretty good. Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. God will inspire you. He will lift your spirit. He will use His Word and His Spirit to inspire you toward some form of deepening your faith. Inspiration. Secondly, listen to Christian music. Let it soothe you, inspire you, motivate you. The first time I heard the song, I Have a Father. Remember that song? He formed my heart. My life was in His hands. Yeah. Yeah. We have a solo going here. That song put me on the floor. Because my earthly papa, he was broken. But my heavenly papa, He's with me. How about this one? Get quiet, sit, and just breathe. Get quiet, sit, and just breathe for a little while. You know, there's plenty to do in the rest of the day. Just sit, be quiet with God, and sit and breathe. Just breathe. Have you ever listened to yourself breathe? Write God a short letter about something important to you. Choose someone you will bless in some way this month. God always cares about the widow, the orphan, those being treated unjustly, the oppressed. So choose one way to focus on God. Second, calendar the day, the time when you will do this activity. Otherwise, what happens is everything we want to do to slow down and be good with God and to spend some quality time with Him goes into the pit of the dark hole of good intentions. Yeah, I meant to do that. Well, use the tool of calendaring things. I have my date book. This is my brain. And in it, I put things that I need to do that are important to me. Okay? Calendar time with God. You know? Put it in there. And one of the good things about this, if you have a history of people-pleasing like me, when somebody asks for your time, you can look up your calendar and go, oh, nope, I got an appointment right there. It's an appointment with God, but it's an appointment. Nope, can't do it. Spend time with God. Calendar your event, your activity, your time with Him. Put it on the calendar and then follow it. Calendaring things is like writing stuff on a budget. It means nothing if you don't follow it. Right? Yeah. So calendar it and then follow it. Keeping your faith fresh is something you do on purpose. It will strengthen your relationship with God and others. The other side of being too busy is being bored during Christmas. Ever been bored during Christmas? I see some moms going, no, never been bored. This is as distracting as being busy is, being bored. It drains you. It gives you time to think of naughty stuff to do. The solution to boredom is no different than being overly busy. Read God's word until He inspires you to think and act upon His promptings. You know, when my kids were young, they said, Dad, I'm bored. I'm glad to hear you say that because I got a list of jobs for you. Yeah, I don't want to do that. That's not what I meant. It's been said that boredom is at the root of refusing to be who God created you to be. Boredom is at the root of refusing to be who God created you to be. So following this tool of choosing one way to connect with God and calendar that event will bring you to fulfilling Romans 15:13. May all joy overflow in you with peace and trust, so that you may give that goodness, that overflow to someone else. Let's respond to God. Make this Christmas season a faith builder, not a faith interrupter. Choose one way that helps you to keep your faith fresh and relevant. Calendar that thing and enjoy the fruit of keeping your faith fresh and relevant. We're going to sing a song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. This is what we should do every day Christmas. And I'm going to ask you, if you desire, not you'd have to, but you'd come up here, and we'll just kind of circle up here, and we're going to sing this song together, because, you know, there's one thing about singing to the back of someone else's head that just doesn't quite cut it. I think when we get to see each other's eyes and faces and expressions on singing together God's glory, it just kind of pumps us up. So, come on, let's sing. Come on up here with me.